أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 45 from Surah Baqarah: وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِئِينَ. And seek help through patience and prayer, and it is indeed hard except for the humble. Now, this is continuation of the address to the Jews of Medina that believe in whatever has been revealed to a prophet who is confirming in what is with you. And of course, by believing, you may lose lots of your benefits. Also, you have to leave your heritage, your tradition. It's very difficult. I mean, converting a faith to another faith is very difficult at all times, because the tradition with which people are brought up with, and also especially we talked about those Jews who had lots of vested benefits, vested interests in, of course, Judaism. People would give them tithes and alms, religious taxes, such things. Now, if this is difficult for you, and if you claim that you believe in God, seek help from patience and prayer. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Although this is, of course, a general rule for everyone, all of us, if you are faced with difficulties, we have to seek help from patience and from prayer. This is the situation of a believer at all times. But of course, the context of this verse shows that it is addressed to the Jews of the time. So seek help through patience and perseverance and through prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ. Of course, it is hard except for the humble. Now I'll talk about وَإِنَّهَا, where this pronoun goes back, what is difficult. But from different traditions that we have and from different explanations of this verse, there is a particular meaning for this sabr here, or a very important instance of this patience is mentioned. About the context, Tabari very clearly mentions that this is, of course, addressed to the Jews, and he says, "Estainu alal wafa'i bi'ahdi الذي أعهدتموني." Because previously it was said that يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم. Fulfill your promises that you have given me. I will fulfill my promise. And for fulfilling that promise, which the most important of it now is to believe in this prophet, seek help from patience. So seek help from patience to fulfill your promise to me. In Al-Kafi and in Man La Yathar Al-Faqih and in other books, there are reports from A'imma alayhi wassalam. One report here is from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, who said, "As-sabru fi hadhihi al-aya as-siyam." It is fasting. Now, fasting is one instance of patience, of course, because fast involves lots of patience. And therefore, what is given to us by this example is that sometimes for patience, you need certain practice, certain exercise. And exercise of patience sometimes is through fasting. And we have in many traditions that when something hard, something very difficult, a calamity falls upon you, which is very difficult to endure and tolerate, act to, according to this ayah, "Esta'inu bis-sabr was-salat." So in a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, again we have, "Idha nazalat bil-rajul an-nazilatu shadida fal-yasum." When a hard calamity when a hard misfortune hits a person, they should fast. It's good to fast. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة يعني الصيام. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek help from patience and from salat. And the Imam says that as-salat here means siyam, means fasting. Now, the other hadith that we have in Al-Kafi is about describing an equality about Imam Ali alayhi salam, saying that إِذَا حَالَهُ شَيْءٌ فَزَعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ ثُمَّ تَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. This hadith is from Ja'far al-Sadiq about Imam Ali. Then Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq recited this ayah, وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. It was the habit of Imam Ali when something very hard came upon him, hard to endure. We know that there are many calamities, many misfortunes hit Imam Ali alayhi salam, especially after the Prophet and all those political upheavals which he endured. When something very hard came to him, he sought help from Salat. He went and prayed to Raka of Salat to calm down. And this is, of course, a very good instruction for all of us. When something happens which is very difficult in our life to accept, to believe that this has happened to us, or very difficult to be patient upon, then fasting and praying more than, of course, doing Salat and Nafila and other things would help to somehow alleviate the hardship of that incident. And because this is a connection which is established between man and God, and of course, with remembrance of God comes tranquility, comes comfort, and therefore, what is important in for the faithful people is that they should remember these two things: perseverance in every act, perseverance and connection with God. That would, of course, alleviate all hardship. And even when one success, the two are very important: perseverance and connection with God. Some people have perseverance but no connection with God. Some people have connection with God but not perseverance. Two of them together would make a person like an iron, hard, difficult to break. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Now, then, of course, Allah says this is not possible for everyone. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ. كَبِيرَةٌ means, كَبِير means great, of course. It's great for everyone except for خَاشِين. It means it's hard. كَبُرَ عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ مَا تَدْؤُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. It's very difficult for مُشْرِكِينَ, for example, in other verse, what you call them to. So, إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ means it's very difficult. Now, this ennaha, this pronoun, it goes to what? To salat or to ista'ana bis-sabr was-salat. This attitude that when something comes upon you or when you want to accept something which is very difficult, as I said, the context is the Jews accepting Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that it's very difficult. You are going to leave all your tradition, all your heritage, all your books, everything, and you are coming to a new faith. It is going to be very difficult. But seek help, and innaha, seeking help from sabre wa salat is difficult, or salat is difficult. Now, the exegetes have mentioned both of them. And I think both of them are possible here. First of all, salat is very difficult, except for khashi'in. Because khashi' is someone whose heart is humble towards Allah. The following verse explains who is a khashi', who is someone whose heart is humble, and what should we believe so that our hearts become humble. But salat itself is difficult, except for khashi'in. It's difficult because they say, why should we do this? God doesn't need this, for example. Or doing this all the time, having this connection, dedicating parts of our day and night for prayers is difficult. Or the very act of deferring to God, the very act of accepting his guardianship may be difficult for people except for Hashim. If we return the pronoun to ista'ana, when something hard happens, it is very difficult to seek help from sabr and salat, except for khashin. So the attitude of khashin, the attitude of the humble, is that whatever happens to them, no matter how hard it is, how difficult it is to accept, or how difficult it is to change from one position to another position, they seek help from sabr and salat. And who are these khashin? The next verse, of course, explains that. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who are certain that they will encounter their Lord and that they will return to him. Now, مُلَاقُ رَبِّهِمْ means that they are certain that there is a resurrection, there is a day of judgment. This is the common meaning of encountering the Lord. We encounter his judgment, we encounter his reward or punishment. This yaqeen, certainty, is important for the heart to become humble, Hashim, that we know that we are going to be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and they return to him, and he will reward or punish. They will see him in one day that going back to their origin. We are, of course, from Allah. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We are from Allah, and we go back to him. If someone doesn't have this certainty, then, you know, I've discussed this before. Than has two opposite meanings. One meaning of than is certainty, having certain knowledge, and the other meaning of than is to be uncertain in one's knowledge. And it's one of those terms which is used in contradictory meanings is than. And in hadith we have that every aspect or is in the books of Lugha, that when than is used about matters of dunya, it means uncertainty. When it's used about matters of akhira, wherever it is used in the Quran, in matters of akhira, it means having certainty. Unless someone is certain about the encounter with the Lord, this khushu would not come to the heart. And unless someone is certain that he is going to return to Allah's punishment or reward, that khushu would not come. And therefore, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ, they will have in hadith from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, أَيُّقِنُونَ, they are certain, أَنَّهُمْ يُبْعَثُ, that they are going to be resurrected. And al-liqa, from the same hadith, al-liqa al-ba'ath, encounter is to be resurrected. These people are the ones who have khushu and the ones who can seek help from sabr and salat. If our hearts are not humbled, we have to seek the origin of that. And the origin of that is certainly in lack of certitude in what is going to happen for us after death, especially encountering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have certitude in that, then the heart is humbled. Now, again, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. O children of Israel, remember my blessing which I bestowed upon you, and that I gave you an advantage over all the nations. Initially, it seems to be a repetition because we had the same verse, a couple of verses above, but that was about fulfilling the promise that I have fulfilled my promise. I have given you the book. Now you fulfill the promise so that I complete my promise to guide you and to take you to paradise. Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. That verse was like this. وَأَوْفُوا بَعَهْدِي أُوفَ بَعَهْدِكُمْ. Now here it goes on to talk about other blessings that Allah gave to Banu Israel, that I gave you advantage over all other nations. I anni fadhaltukum ala al-alamin. Look, what I did to you is not comparable to what I did to any other nation. Now, some people say anni fadhaltukum ala al-alamin means in their time, because later on, of course, came Ummah to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then this Ummah was given advantage over all other Ummah. But we don't need to say such a thing, because what Allah gave to Banu Israel is never given to any nation. Not only in terms of guidance and prophets that Allah made all from Banu Israel, but also, for example, he saved them from Pharaoh, what Pharaoh was doing with them, which is going to be mentioned later on. There is a summary of what Allah gave them as advantage in the following verses. For example, he gave them manna and salwa, the honey-like thing for breakfast, and quails for eating, giving them the Torah, splitting the sea for them, and all those miracles that Allah gave them. So I gave you preference and advantage over all other nations. Remember this. Now, of course, unfortunately, the Jews during the history, as one of the exegetes say, during the history, they have harmed themselves and harmed the humanity all through their history. Unfortunately, they did not take this ni'mah, as the Quran mentions. They did not take this ni'mah, this preference, the way they should have taken it. Now, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. And beware, واتقوا. Again, bringing to their attention one very important thing. واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون. Beware of the day when no soul shall compensate for another soul, neither any intercession shall be accepted from it, nor any ransom shall be received from it, nor will they be helped. Apparently, these three instances, that no soul shall compensate for another soul, no intercession will be accepted, and no ransom will be taken, and no help will come for, actually, were different aspects of Jewish ideology about the day of resurrection or after death. That if anything happens, if we have done mistakes, if we have sinned, then there are several helps and lifelines which come to us. One is that some others could actually set right whatever we have done wrong. La tajzi nafsun an nafsin shay'a. For example, our relatives or someone can compensate things for us. The other was that no matter what we have done, the shafa'a intercession will come. The other is that there will be ransom. I don't know how they thought about this ransom, how they give this ransom, but this was another type of idea that they had, and the help, of course, would not come. Now, these four things are rejected. We know that on the Day of Judgment, Shafa'a will be there. It is actually proved through many different verses. That is why the exegetes have tried to explain this verse in some different ways. One is what Faiz al-Kashani mentions in As-Safi, based on some traditions which he has received from A'im alayhi wasalam. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا, he says, وَقْتَ النَّازِ, the day when your soul is going to be taken. So it's the day of death. The day of death, of course, there's no shafa'ah. No one can intercede for you that Ya Allah, take this soul, for example, a bit later on. He says, on the day when your soul is going to be taken, la tadfa'u anha adaban qad istahaqqathu. Of course, this soul, no one can fend off the adab that it deserves. And no one can intercede to postpone their death. No one can intercede to postpone their death. وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ And no one can say, take other person's life in place of me. This adl is as ransom, for example, Ya Allah, I'm going to die, but for example, take my father's life instead of my life, or my brother's life, it's not possible. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ And no one can help them to drive away death from them. This is one way of explaining it. The other way of explaining is what is, of course, the correct way of explaining, and is more general, is that shafa'ah is accepted only through certain conditions. And one of the most important conditions is faith. Now, if someone rejects part of the faith, part of the book, and accepts some other parts of the book, as the Quran explains the Jews were doing, they did not accept the parts which talked about the coming of Prophet Muhammad, it means that you have no faith. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ You believe in some parts and you reject other parts, this is not acceptable. You have to totally surrender to have faith. Now, we know that without faith, shafa'ah cannot be accepted. Actually, the verses which are mentioned in the Quran about shafa'ah are of three types. We can classify them in three types. There are one set of verses which absolutely deny any shafa'ah or the result of shafa'ah, that shafa'ah would benefit at all. Like, for example, لَيْسَ لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ وَلِيٌّ وَلَا شَفِيعٌ There is no wali, no shafi for human beings except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can intercede. He is the only person who can put things right. Because shafa'ah means, the meaning, if we think about the meaning of shafa'ah, shafa'ah means that you have something to save you. You have something to save you. It's very important. Otherwise, if we don't understand the meaning of shafa'ah correctly, then we will be misled. Shafa'ah means you have something to save you, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And you need some help to somehow boost what you have, to push you a bit forward, to help you take your hand. You need that. So we are told that if we have that little bada'ah, that little capital, which is good, would lead to paradise, but is not enough, then Allah would add it up, would add shafa'ah to it, would top it up, for example, through intercession. However, some verses say that shafa'ah, this could only be done by Allah. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا Shafa'ah is in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, we say intercession, but take intercession in this meaning, that you have something, it's not enough. Now, what Allah is going to do with you? Is he going to take you to hell? It doesn't go very well with his mercy. You have something, but it is a lot short of what qualifies you to go to paradise. What Allah is going to do to you? Well, of course, our understanding of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he would top it up. He would help. Now, here the verses say that it is only possible through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا Shafa'ah is only for Allah. So it completely denies that there is any shafa'ah there. Other verses actually explains this, that yes, there are certain things which try to intercede, as Allah has created the system in Akhirah, but it wouldn't help. Intercession would not help. The second set of verses are, for example, وَلَا وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا Just as we have here, لَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ If there is an intercession, it's not accepted. Or, as we have about the kuffar who go to hell, فَمَا تَنْفَأُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِئِينَ It means there are shafi'in. There are those who intercede, but it wouldn't help them. Why? Because they don't have that little thing which is needed to be matched with Shafa'ah. Then there are other verses which explain this further, that yes, of course, when I say قُلْ لِلَّهِ شَفَاءَةُ جَمِيعًا, Shafa'ah only belongs to Allah, then Allah would delegate this to others, would give permission. There is no Shafa'ah except after he allows it, after he permits it. And of course, he would permit that to be done through certain individuals, certain people. So those certain people are mentioned here in the third group of the verses. For example, la tanfa'u shafa'a, shafa'a would not help, illa. You see, in the previous verse we have fama tanfa'uhum shafa'atu shafi'in. The shafa'a of those intercede would not help them. Why? Because they have nothing to match with that shafa'a. Now, here it says, la tanfa'u shafa'a illa man adhna lahu ar-Rahman, except those for whom Allah has issued permission to be included in shafa'a or to do shafa'a. This verse can take both meanings. So that this permission actually is explaining the verse which says, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاءَةُ جَمِيعًا, shafa'a is only for Allah. Now, then he can permit it for some, and he can refuse it for others. Of course, this is not a precarious thing. Those who have something to be topped up, Allah would permit for them. Those who don't have anything, like kuffar. Kafir is someone who does not believe in Allah or does not believe in what instructions that he gives. This is just like rejecting Allah. If you reject what instructions he gives, it's just like rejecting him. So for them, it's not possible. So Allah would permit them, لا تنفع الشفاء إلا من أذن له الرحمن in Surah Taha, or ولا تنفع الشفاء إلا لمن أذن له. Shafa would not help, would not benefit, except for someone that Allah has permitted the shafa'ah to be done. So when we say, for example, the Prophet makes shafa'ah, or A'imma alayhimus salam makes shafa'ah, or even a good friend makes shafa'ah, it means that your shortcomings are matched by the greatness of their soul, or by their high station there, and they would help you. But this should be a permission from, with a permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that individual to be included in shafa'ah. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ in Surah Zukhruf, وَلَا يَمْلِكُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ, those whom they call, the kuffar would call or would worship, they would not possess shafa'ah, this position, إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, except those who are witnesses of the truth, like, for example, the Anbiya, because some people worshipped Anbiya, worshipped saints. These saints, of course, they would reject that worship, but they own shafa'ah. They possess this position of shafa'ah. Or وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ in Surah Anbiya, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ اِرْتَضَى, they cannot intercede except for someone that Allah is pleased to be included in shafa'ah. So this idea of intercession or shafa'ah is not a sort of precarious thing that, for example, I say, okay, I love the Prophet just without any action to support it, and then the Prophet comes and says, okay, I want to this person to be saved, or I want that relative to be saved. This is not in their hand. It is a systematic thing. If you have something which is short of qualifying you for paradise, with his mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would match it with the shafa'ah of the intercessors. And of course, this needs great faith. Faith in Allah, we know that faithful people commit sins. We know that all our actions put together are short of qualifying us to go to paradise, therefore we need shafa. And sometimes the believers commit sins, even they commit grave sins. But they have that quality of faith, they have that goodness in the heart, which by the sin makes it short of qualification. And that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Shafa'ati la'ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati. My shafa is for those members of my ummah who commit grave sins sometimes. And then they have no other thing to resort to except to the shafa'ah that Allah has permitted me to give them and to take them to paradise. So for people to be included in shafa'ah, to be qualified for shafa'ah, the first main thing is faith. And after faith, of course, they shouldn't be so evil that their acts would qualify them completely for hell. Not being short of going to paradise, but they qualify them completely for hell. Now, there's one other thing that I should mention here, and then we finish this session, is the idea of Ahlus Sunnah about Shafa'ah. The Mu'tazila, who have actually died out, the Mu'tazili school of Ahlus Sunnah is not extant anymore. They believed, and they have mentioned under this verse, that this verse shows that there is no Shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. And they did not believe in Shafa'ah, actually. Many of their scholars, some of their scholars believed, many of their scholars did not believe. But the majority of Ahlus Sunnah, who call themselves Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believed in Shafa'ah right from the beginning, and they supported it. Their idea of Shafa'ah was very similar to the idea of Shafa'ah in Shia, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, would do Shafa'ah for the Ummah. Asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda. Allah is going to give you a very praised station on the Day of Judgment, and they say this is the Shafa'ah. So they believed. And one of the answers that they give to Mu'tazila about denial of Shafa'ah is that it is these verses which deny Shafa'ah, أَنَّهَا خَاسَّةٌ بِالْكُفَّارِ. This is only applicable to kuffar, to disbelievers. Otherwise, for believers, there is Shafa'ah, and they mention all these verses. And one of the scholars, Ash'ari scholar, says that whoever denies Shafa'ah deserves to be deprived of it. If you don't want Shafa'ah, okay, we don't give you Shafa'ah. You are deprived of that Shafa'ah. But he says that, but for us, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. And we believe that the sinners among the believers will be helped on the Day of Judgment, and Allah would complete their acts with the Shafa'ah of the Prophet. Another way of explaining these verses, which apparently seem contradictory, is again what is mentioned by some Ahlus Sunnah exegetes, is that it depends on the mawaqif. Like what Faiz Kashani said. Faiz Kashani said that this la tanfa'uhum shafa'atun is applicable to the Day of Death. There's no shafa'ah there, there's no ransom there. And they say that there are many different stages on the Day of Judgment. In some places, shafa'ah is not acceptable. You have to do it alone. In some places, of course, comes shafa'ah, and that's true. Shafa'ah comes at the very end, when everything is complete, people have passed through all these stages, then they are short of being qualified for going to paradise. Then the shafa'ah would come, not at every stage. And we have in our ahadith that after death in barzakh, there is no shafa'ah. You are alone. You have to do it alone with your own actions. Nothing will come to your help. But, of course, after being resurrected, after going through all those stages, if you are short of being qualified, then, of course, shafa'ah will come and help. And this is, of course, a great news for us, that gives us hope, isn't it? That although we are short of being qualified for paradise, inshallah, the shafa of the Prophet, shafa of A'imah alayhi salam, and in every ummah there are people who do shafa for members of that ummah, the purer the faith, the more likely the possibility of shafa'a. So we say that shafa'a of the Prophet, of course, is universal for all the ummah, not only for Shias, for the whole ummah, that shafa'a will come. But for the Shia who are pure in faith, in our opinion, then there is an extra shafa'a, shafa'a of A'imma alayhimus salam. And then there might be, for others who are purer, there may be extra shafa'a as well. So shafa'a is a sort of graded thing. People would receive it at different levels and different grades. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi ta'ir.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll start with the discussion session and we'll pass the mic to Brother Said.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Clarity, really, just slight confusion in my mind. So you said very clearly that for those who have faith and are just short of few points, if you like, at the last moment, Allah would provide the shafa. But towards the end, your phrases changed to Prophet shafa and Aima shafa. So we said beginning that it's Allah only who gives the shafa. So what is the role of the Prophet? What is the role of the Imam? Are they just facilitating Allah's commands and nothing more than that? Can you clarify that?
Yeah, that's a very good expression, facilitating. They are facilitators, actually. Exactly like this world. Yes. In this world, we say that hidayah is only for Allah.
Yes.
قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ It's him. But Prophet is a facilitator. He brings the guidance, and people who are qualified for that guidance would be helped by the Prophet. Exactly the same thing. قُلْ لِلَّهِ شَفَاعَةُ جَمْعِ Shafa'a belongs to Allah. But he has facilitators, as you say, like prophets, not only our prophet, all the prophets, the A'imma alayhi salam, they facilitate that. It goes through them, exactly the same way that guidance in this world came through them, shafa'a will come through them as well.
But neither the Prophet nor the Imam have got any authority with respect to change Allah's shafa'a in terms of degree, either to enhance it or to reduce it.
No.
Agreed?
It's all from Allah.
It's all from Allah. Exactly, it's just the facilitating and the transference.
Yes. So, and that's a big position,
yes,
you know,
it is, of course.
I mean, this facilitation.
Of course.
Just like a prophet in this world.
Sure. So, but there is no point in me praying to the Prophet or praying to the Imam, help me with Shafa. It's Allah that I should be praying to.
You know, we have this hadith, La yanalu shafa'atuna man istakhaffa bis-salat. Whoever takes salat lightly would not receive our Shafa'ah. There are many other things like this. You know, shafa'a, as I said, is a systematic thing. It's not just by calling, give me your shafa'a. But yes, of course, we call upon Allah for many things. And when we call upon Allah for many things, Allah will give them to us. And even when we call to the Prophet that include us in your shafa'a, that is a sort of connection with God, actually. It all comes through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are not qualified, no matter we call for years, it wouldn't come. Like, for example, the istighfar of the Prophet. Allah says that وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ وَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا If they wrong themselves, they come to you and they ask forgiveness from Allah and you ask forgiveness for them, Allah will forgive them. This is for those who are qualified. For those who are not qualified, Allah says to the Prophet, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. Even if you seek استغفار 70 times, I'm not going to forgive them. So it's all in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So I'm sorry to go on this. I just want absolute clarity in my mind. So we have said, again, I repeat, Allah is the one who will decide on the degree of shafa. Aima and Prophet are the facilitators. We are asking Allah for the Shafa. Prophet has, I guess, if Allah says to the Prophet, facilitate, the Prophet cannot enhance or reduce it, we have agreed that. The Prophet can probably drop that responsibility. Maybe that's what we are telling the Prophet. Once Allah has included me in his Shafa, asking you to facilitate, please, please support me in that facilitation.
Let's see what Sarfaraz is saying.
But don't drop me on that, because
my worry is that in Dua Tawassul,
we are asking the Prophet and the Aima directly for Shafa. That's what my concern is.
No, we say Ya Wajihan Indallah, Ishfa Lana Indallah. This is a difficult, different thing, you see. Ishfa Lana Indallah. Like, for example, we ask each other to do dua for each other, for example. I ask you, please remember me in your duas, okay? Now, when you remember me in your duas, certainly something will happen, if it's accepted. Now, when we say Ishfa Lana Indallah, intercede for us with God, it means that you have a closer position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can ask Allah for things.
So this don't drop me from the facilitation. That's what
dua, dua is another intercession, isn't it? Interceding factor. If we ask the Prophet, for example, to make dua for us, it's a sort of intercession, isn't it? We say the Quran intercedes for us on the Day of Judgment, because the Quran also has that power, which when we recite it would give us that qualification. Now, what is confusing here, I understand your position, what is confusing is that if it's all in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so why we ask them to intercede? It's just like our asking each other, from each other to do dua. If it's in hands of Allah, why we do it? Well, of course, it has some effect, certainly. What is Sarfaraz saying in this?
Before Safra comes in, I just want to read the translation of the Tawassul line here. We turn towards thee, we are telling the Prophet, seek thy intercession and advocacy before Allah.
No, it doesn't. Well, that's the translation here. We turn to Allah through you. See, it's not turning to you. We turn to Allah.
We turn towards the
translation. The translation is probably. Yeah.
Okay, Sarfaraz.
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, I'm recalling something you mentioned earlier. So you're comparing Shafa in Akhirah with guidance, Hidayah in Dunya. And for example, we all know Allah is the guide, but He certainly doesn't come to each of us and guides us directly. We go to our parents, our madrasa teachers, our ulama, and further up the chain. And through this means, Allah has given us guidance. And similarly with Shafa, perhaps we don't have the capacity to receive it directly. And so we have to go through other means. And is that not an example?
Why do you make that statement? We don't have the capacity to
get. Well, you have capacity to receive hidayah from Allah. You don't. I don't. The Prophet did, but nobody else does. I'm learning from Sheikh, and Sheikh is learning from Imam Khomeini, and Imam Khomeini is learning from Aima, and Imam Aima is learning from the Prophet. There's no way I can sit with Imam Khomeini and even understand what he's saying.
Where's the evidence of that from the Quran to say that human beings are not able to receive the training?
Well, if we did, the Quran would come to us. It hasn't.
No, okay. You see, by guidance, he means the guidance which, like the Quran, we are not, of course, capable to receive the Quran directly. It comes to the Prophet, then comes to us, isn't it? So this capacity is not given to everyone. Only certain people can receive revelation. And that revelation would come to us through them. So this is sort of Shafa in this world, isn't it? Shafa is not something which is restricted to the other world. Even in this world, there are many verses in the Quran which talks about natural Shafa, like, for example, the sun, the moon, these are interceding for us to bring the blessings of Allah to this world. So they are intercessors too. So in this world, we are not capable to receive guidance directly. It comes through the prophets. And in that world as well, what he is saying is that we are not capable to receive shafa'a directly. It comes through. Is it what you are saying?
Yeah, and not only do we not are capable of receiving revelation, assuming we receive, we don't even have the capacity to understand the Quran without translation. I mean, if Imam didn't explain it to us, what would we understand? Okay, and so you can see people who have been misguided because they think we don't need Imam. We have the Quran. We can understand everything. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And about shafa'a, we have that even friends would do shafa'a. Family members would do shafa'a for each other. For example, if there is a pious man who has lived, say, 90 years in a family, praying, fasting, doing good things, then on the day of judgment, he would be the head of the clan who would do the shafa'a for all the members of the family. What? Where does he receive that? He receives it from people who are higher. So just as you said, as Safra says, we receive guidance through different people here, and we see that shafa'a through different mediators, for example, mediations there.
Thank you, Sheikh.
But what is important is that it is a systematic thing. It's not something precarious that I would love to do shafa'a for him, not for that person.
Thank you. Can we hear out from the sisters, please?
Assalamu alaikum. Could it be possible that, for example, the Prophet has been given blanket consent? So, you know, Allah said to him, okay, you know, this, you have this sort of responsibility, or you have the authority to give shafa to whom you see fit. I mean, it's just an idea. So it is originating from Allah, but because of the closeness of the Prophet and the Aima, they have been given this blanket consent. And so we are asking, you know, we are still, of course, turning to Allah, but asking through them because we know they have an influence. Is that a possibility?
Yes, that's a possibility. But the point is that the blanket consent doesn't mean that Prophet can do whatever he wants. He would act based on, of course, Allah's instructions or what Allah has made him to decide. And this is the meaning of لا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى. They would not intercede but for those that Allah is pleased to be included in intercession. So although they do it, I mean, they would not ask permission for every individual. Is it possible for me to do intercession? But they will do it. But they do it through that instruction that only whoever Allah is pleased with them.
Who would make that decision about who Allah is pleased with?
It's systematic, you know. It's just like the guidance. The Prophet gives guidance generally to everyone. But some people accept it, some people... And shafa is general. It comes for everyone. Some people take it, some people do not take it. It's just like that.
Thank you. Firoz?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. When you started the lecture in the first part, you were talking about wasta'inu bis sabri wa salat, right? And you said that there are times when you find great difficulty and you have to do extra prayers and extra fasting. Is that, correct me if
yes.
My understanding is
yes.
Not correct.
Yes.
So the question is, why is Allah doing that? Is Allah doing that because He wants you to take you either to a higher stage or to expiate your sins? I'm trying to kind of make an understanding of how this is, because you see that some individuals, for example, face great difficulty. Does that mean that Allah loves them in that sense? Because then they will then turn, because you know, you mentioned Imam Ali, okay, who everybody believes to be after the Prophet, you know, the greatest person, you know, believer on earth, as far as the Shias are concerned. So can you just put it into context as to how this happens, or if there's a philosophy of wisdom behind it, please.
You know, you shouldn't take these things individually. This is the grand plan of Allah. The world is created like that. When Allah gives free will to people, and when Allah has created this world, which is usually full of natural disasters and such things, for the preservation of the whole nature, then it is quite natural that we face things which we do not like, if I may. Anyhow. You want to answer? Okay. Yes. You see, it is natural that we face such things in this world. This is how this world is created. The only thing is that the way we react to them, the way we react to them is different. And sometimes it's so difficult that we have to seek help from patience and salat. You know, it is natural that our loved ones should die. I mean, those who are older should die before us if we have a natural, for example, length of life. Sometimes it's natural even our loved ones who are our children, our siblings, they die. It's natural that wars happen. It's natural that disasters happen. So we have to somehow brave through all these with this type of attitude. If we don't have this attitude, then, of course, life would become very difficult. Our souls would get lost in this world. We lose faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the important thing. It's not that Allah does it. Why Allah does it? Allah has created this world like that.
Sorry, but just, you know, if you look at the, I think it's in 40 hadith of Imam Khomeini, when there's a chapter on Bala, if I'm not mistaken. And then in that he mentions that the Prophet is reported to have said that I am the person who has said the most difficult thing. And turning to that, does that mean that that's because of the higher status of the Prophet, i.e. there's a gradation going down? Sometimes we think, I'm just sort of thinking that we think that when somebody does, is Allah has not blessed them because Allah has put them in difficulty. Maybe it's the other way around. I'm trying to understand that maybe there
Let's
is a
discuss
hikmah
this
there.
Issue of Bala in next week, because we have something very, very confusing and difficult next week, and that is when Pharaoh was killing the newborn, male newborn of Banu Israel. Allah says, وَفِي ذَلَكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. It is a bala from your Lord. Let's talk that for next week, because I mean natural disasters are quite clear, but when someone kills all the newborns and Allah says this is my bala, then we have to inshallah see what it means.
Any sisters who wants to clarify any for confusion or anything? They want to add something, sisters?
You want to add any confusion?
Okay, Mushtaq.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
I want clarification on dua at tawassul, because I'm now not clear, because is it completely authentic or not?
No, it's not completely authentic. It's so just one hadith, and every hadith has its own value. So if someone does not believe in that, it doesn't somehow harm their tashayyu or something like that. You know, there are certain things which we discussed before, which are absolutely against the whole literature that we know, like that, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali, Akfi Ali. But Dua Tawassul is not like that. Dua Tawassul is saying we turn to Allah through you. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything. When we talk to Allah, we say, Ya Allah, I ask you by the honor of prophets, I ask you by the honor of A'im alayhi salam, that you help me. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's just, it's just a report, you see. It's, every dua is a report, so we have to take it with that value.
But there's nothing wrong in reciting dua at tawassul.
No, of course there's nothing wrong.
No, because there are people who say that you shouldn't use dua at tawassul. There are people who are against it. They preach against it. So that's why I'm asking you.
No, there's nothing wrong. But there's nothing wrong if some people do not believe that we have to recite it. So we should not somehow recriminate each other for our beliefs.
That person might be reading the Quran.
Okay, thank you. Can we ask ladies, anybody, any from the ladies? Any sisters? Yeah, Bismillah. Any brothers? Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, this thing you mentioned about dua tawassul, that it's not, maybe not authentic or whatever, could it actually create issues with the people of Ahl-Sunnah, because they're saying, look, you are in effect praying to all these imams or doing du'as for them to stand as intercessor for you during time of the, well, later on in life or whatever. So is that could be conveyed or can we understand it?
You know, if something is right or wrong, we should not bother if other people, for example, criticize us for believing in it or not believing in it. If believing in intercession is right, then whether Ahlus Sunnah accept it or not accept it, we say, okay, we have evidence from the Quran, we have evidence from Hadith about this. But the issue about Dua Tawassul is that whether it's Dua to A'imma or it's Dua to God. You see, if we take it Dua to A'imma alayhi salam, it is not correct, of course. But if it's Dua to God, إِنَّا تَوَجَّهْنَا وَاسْتَشْفَعْنَا وَتَوَسَّلْنَا بِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَقَدَّمْنَاكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ حَاجَاتِنَا. Then we say, يَا وَجِهًا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ اشْفَعْ لَنَا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ. There's nothing wrong to say this to anyone. Even if I tell you that you are a better person, please do shafa'a for me on the Day of Judgment. It's not calling upon anyone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if there is something, if there is a tradition, if there is a dua in which we call upon someone beside Allah, that's of course not conformant with the Quran and our views. But if you are just asking someone to do shafa'a for us, now you may say it's useless to ask because shafa'a is a systematic thing. That's a different issue. But is this a wrong sort of view, belief that we may ask people to do things for us? I don't think it's wrong. We ask each other. Every day we ask each other, please remember me in your dua. That's the type of shafa'a, isn't it?
Yeah,
and now I ask all of you, please, remember me in your dua.
Sheikh, can I start by saying that I love my Prophet and I love my Imam dearly?
You don't need to re-emphasize that. We know that, of course.
But having said that, I just want to try and distinguish between shafa, dua, guidance, etc. Dua and guidance are normal procedures. Shafa is something beyond the normal system. In other words, I have scored my 95%. I want the remaining 5% to be given as a favor outside the norm by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just give me those last 5% of points to pass the test. For that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not distinguish me as a Muslim, as a Shia Athanashri, as compared to Jitesh or Bernard or Jacob. He should not distinguish, otherwise he will be an unjust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that,
an unjust Allah, not an unjust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, facilitating through Imam, through the Prophet, is that's the root. Being a Shia, that's what I'll take. I'll take that route because I got that advantage of taking that route through the facilitator, to be in touch with the facilitator, to make dua with, through the facilitator, to make sure that I do get my shafa through the facilitator. But the others should not be disadvantaged in any way. So what I really have difficulty in understanding is asking any one of the facilitators to help me with the shafa. I think there is a degree, there is a degree of, if you like, mindset within the Shia community as a whole, that through the A'imma and through the Prophet, we can get that extra 5% or whatever, even if Allah was not to be approving of that. That's my worry.
Yeah.
That's what I want everybody here that's to come
clear.
Out of.
That's clear. Without that approval of Allah, nothing
will nothing's going to happen.
That's true.
So it's very important to remain focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you. Any sisters want to add anything? Yes, doctor.
Alaykum salam.
Switch off the talk.
I think just following what Nisar said just now, we have been told, and it has been repeatedly told to us in the majlis and all the lectures as well, just being Shia, you don't have to worry, everything will be solved, and you will get the Shafa, and you don't have to worry, because it's a privilege to believe in all the Aimas and the Shia beliefs. So can you please clarify that? Because this has been told right from the very beginning, even when I was a small child in India. They say, if you have just one drop of tear in your eyes on the day of Ashura, you'll go to Jannah. You won't be asked any questions. So I think those things should be made very, very clear that we shouldn't be, because everything will be asked. Every atom of good we do and every atom of bad we do, it'll be accounted for. So I think these things should not be told in the majalis and all these things.
Well, crying for Imam Hussein is a good act, of course. That is counted as one of the good acts. And it shows your connection, your good heart, and all these things. But, you know, Allah has talked about previous nations in the Quran so that we learn from them. This is very important. I mean, the Jews said, ذَلَكَ بَأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. They said, because we are Jews, even if we go to hell, we will come out soon. Just a few days, we will be there and we come out. The Shafa will come and take us or whatever. And Allah says, غَرَّهُمْ فِي دِينِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. These are slanders against Allah. They were deceived by these things. You know, now, if Allah says about the Jews, who were given advantage over all the world, فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِ, all these things, you say this, how do you know? Why you say this? This is a deception in your faith. So if you believe in such things, we are similar. I think Quran is a very good guide. I mean, everything is explained there. The only thing is that we don't read it. If we read it, everything is explained there very clearly.
Thank you, Sheikh. Sheikh, there's something burning in my heart.
As always.
As usual, yeah. Okay. Supposing if I want the Shafa of the Imam or the Prophet, they would probably know the state of my mind, because individually, if we ask for other people that please pray for me, they don't know the exact nature of my exact nature. But perhaps the Imams or the Prophet would be able to know better my nature. So would we have to either convince them or in a way persuade them to fall within that system of Shafa so that they sort of somehow make a better connection with Allah, that yes, they say to Allah, this person deserves your Shafa then ultimately?
You know, if for example you hate me and I come and ask you, please remember me in your du'as. You say, okay, I know how to remember you in my du'as, isn't it? I mean, if, for example, we ask an Imam for something and they hate us because of our actions, because of what we do, it wouldn't work, of course. I mean, it's very natural. I mean, it's not something that we can convince someone about. It's something which shows itself. However, when we say it, it's just like du'a. It's when we say it, Allah knows what is in our heart. When we say it, it has some spiritual effect on us. It has some spiritual effects in the higher realm. And when we say these things to Imam, it has some effect in our spirituality itself. Yeah.
Thank you. Any last one? Anybody?
I just want to...
Yeah, please.
Take. What is just said. Imam and Prophet don't know what are things in our mind, is it? I mean, that's how we started.
Did you say that?
No, I said perhaps they know. Yeah. Not the ordinary people,
they
perhaps...
Well, it depends what type of knowledge we regard for the souls when they leave this world. You know, the souls have different levels of knowledge, okay? And there are some souls which have great awareness of everything which is happening in this world. You know, the knowledge of angels, for example, I mean, how angel of death knows that he has to take the souls of 150,000 people a day, and he doesn't make mistakes. And he takes exactly. He has a type of knowledge, isn't it? This is a knowledge given to him by God. It's not that, of course, Allah does it, but he doesn't individually say, okay, this one. No, he knows it. And this knowledge is a higher grade of knowledge. Now, for the knowledge of A'imma or the Prophet, we may have higher grade of knowledge, which is different from our knowledge. As we have in the Quran, for example, some people had higher grade of knowledge, and that's possibility. We do not call upon anyone. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجَدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not call with Allah anyone else. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I think perhaps we continue next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.